I want to welcome all of you to New Life Christian Fellowship. We're just so thrilled that you've come to join us today. Whether you're visiting for the first time or the second time, or whether you're a regular attendee, we're really, really happy that you've chosen to spend this morning with us when we celebrate the pinnacle of all Christian holidays, Easter, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A Sunday school teacher once asked her class to write one sentence in answer to this question. What does Easter mean to you? So, of course, these are children, so you can probably anticipate what their answers might be. They gave quite a variety. But one boy said, I know what Easter means. Egg salad sandwiches for the next 2 weeks. That's what Easter means. Lunch is going to be really boring for the next 2 weeks. Another teacher asked her class, why do we celebrate Easter? And once again, she got a variety of answers, ranging from the Easter bunny to Easter eggs to spring candy, and on the list went. Then the teacher said, no, these are Easter traditions and symbols, but what's the real reason why we celebrate Easter? A little girl raised her hand and said, Easter celebrates Jesus coming out of the tomb. Now, this Sunday school teacher was very excited at that point that finally someone had come up with a correct answer. And this little girl, proud of herself for answering correctly, continued on and said, then Jesus looks to see if he can see his shadow, and if he doesn't, woohoo! No shadow! Summer is on its way. Just a little bit mixed up, as I'm often mixed up. But have you ever wondered what bunny rabbits and colored eggs have to do with the resurrection of Jesus anyway? The short answer is absolutely nothing. Let's go home. No. The longer answer is that bunnies and eggs were symbols of springtime and new life in many ancient cultures. In fact, some historians claim that the tradition of hiding colored eggs in a field for children to find dates back to the Babylonian Empire, many centuries before Jesus was born. And no one is quite sure where the name Easter came from. There are several theories about it. Some say that it came from the ancient Germanic calendar because their word for April is actually Easter. Other people believe that Easter was derived from this lady here, Ostra, an Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring, for whom a spring festival was held. Still others see connections to the Babylonian goddess of spring called Ishtar, or the Phoenician goddess Astarte, and on and on and on the theories go. But far from attempting to Christianize pagan springtime festivals, early Christians intentionally chose to establish a rival celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, which took place on the Sunday morning following the Passover celebration in early spring. So Jesus essentially usurped all of those other springtime celebrations of all sorts across many cultures. And early Christians readily adopted eggs as symbols of new life and birth. While the whole world has all but forgotten the Greco-Roman gods of ancient mythology, every year when Easter rolls around, everybody is reminded that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came, lived, died, and was resurrected from the dead. He changed the world. But let me ask you today, what difference does Easter make? Does it really matter? How does it impact the way you live your life on a daily basis? Even people who believe that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day sometimes have difficulty explaining the relevancy of this event to their everyday lives. So whether you are a follower of Christ or are still examining his claims, I want to remind you about that first Resurrection Sunday when Jesus appeared to his faithful followers. Let's explore the significance of the resurrection and the difference it can make in your life. We're going to start by reading some verses in the 20th chapter of John. And they explain the event that we saw so beautifully portrayed in that video clip. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Bill and Gloria Gaither have written many wonderful Christian songs. Gloria wrote one in particular in the 1960s when she was expecting a baby. The couple was going through some terrible problems. Bill had been seriously sick. Their music was being criticized for not being spiritual enough. The church was having challenges. The educational system was being infiltrated with the God is dead idea, while drug abuse and racial tensions were increasing. Gloria's mind was full of fear and anxiety. On New Year's Eve, Gloria writes, "I sat alone in the darkness, thinking about the rebellious world and all of our problems, and about our baby yet unborn. Who in their right mind would bring a child into a world like this?" She goes on to explain, "I can't quite explain what happened in that next moment, but suddenly I felt like I'd been released from it all. The panic that had begun to build inside was gently dispelled by a reassuring presence and a soft voice that kept saying, 'Don't forget the empty tomb. Don't forget the empty tomb.' Then I knew I could have that baby and face the future with optimism and trust. For I had been reminded that it was all worth it just because he lives." Out of that experience, she wrote the lyrics to that very famous song, "Because He Lives." She wrote, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives." When Jesus got up and walked out of that tomb that day, he changed everything for you, for me, and for the whole world. Because he lives, life is worth living. In the time that remains, I would like to share three simple ways that the resurrection has impacted my life and the lives of many believers. These three simple ways were found in Jesus' first words to his disciples when he appeared. Because he lives, firstly, I can have peace. When Jesus appeared to his disciples that first time after his resurrection, the very first words out of his mouth were, "Peace be with you." And yes, that was a standard greeting of the day, like we would say hello. They would say, "Peace be with you." But he goes ahead and repeats it, "Peace be with you," several verses later. This peace that Jesus spoke of was more than just "peace, brother," or "hi," or "how's it going." It was more than just calmness or tranquility kind of peace. It was from the Hebrew word shalom. And this word has quite a deep meaning, far beyond a shallow sense of calmness. It means wholeness, completeness, serenity, and harmony of life. At the very center of this kind of peace is peace with God, reconciliation with the one who breathed life into us in the beginning. When someone dies, you might hear a relative or friend say, they made their peace with God before they passed. But the truth is, that's something we can never do. We're not in a position to make peace with God. When God created mankind, Adam and Eve, and he put them in this beautiful garden called Eden, they were in a perfect paradise. And he came and he lived with them and walked with them and talked with them. And they were in perfect peace. But then came the tragedy of sin, which separated Adam and Eve from God. And that wonderful peace that they had was shattered. Each human being that followed also followed in sin. And we have sins that separate us from God. And no matter how hard we try, we will always fall short. And there's nothing we can do to bring back that peace. Because with those sins comes a penalty, a death penalty. And that's what we all deserve. But here's the good news. Our sins separate us from God. So if peace with God is ever going to be restored, it's up to him to find a way. And that's where Jesus comes in. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, that death. And his shed blood was the only way out of the mess. It's our only way out of our mess. Jesus died and he rose from the dead so that you and I could have peace with God, so that broken relationship could be reconciled. Because he lives, I have peace. Because of him, I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. And so can you. You can know him personally. You can talk to him. You can ask his forgiveness. You can lean on him in times of trouble. You can experience his love, grace, and compassion. Because of the resurrected, fully alive Savior, you and I can have peace. Death is swallowed in victory. Second point, because he lives, I have a purpose. The next thing that Jesus said, as the scripture in John tells us, that right after he said, peace be with you, he said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Where was he sending them? Everywhere. In other words, they became his ambassadors. Their mission, should they choose to accept it, was to spread the word about the cross and the empty tomb, to share the message of Jesus, the gospel, with their friends, their neighbors, their relatives, with the whole world. They would use their love, they would use their lives, and they would use their lips to testify about the power of the cross, forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and about hope, even in this evil world, and the promise of eternal life. In some point during your life, you have to ask yourself a few questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? What's my purpose? Science attempts to answer the first question, and philosophy wrestles with the second, but only Jesus offers a meaningful answer to all three questions. The search for the meaning of life has puzzled people for centuries, primarily because most people start at the wrong place, themselves. We ask self-centered questions like these. What do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals, my ambitions, my dreams for the future? And it's good to have goals, dreams, and ambitions for the future. But focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life's true purpose. I don't know if anyone has ever told you this, but it's not all about you. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. The Bible says this, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created. He is supreme over all creation. Everything was created through Him and for Him. It's all about Him. All of it. Because of my resurrected Savior, Jesus, I know why I exist. I know what I'm supposed to do with my time here on planet Earth. I am His everyday ambassador. I pray that I'm ready to share the gospel, ready to share the new life He's begun in me with the way I live, my acts of love empowered by the Holy Spirit, not just out of me, and my words also empowered by His Spirit. Because He lives, I have a purpose. And here's the third way the resurrection has impacted my life. Because He lives, I have a promise. And it's a wonderful promise. At the end of the disciples' encounter with the risen Jesus, John tells us, "But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." That's the promise of John 3:16 too, isn't it? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." All throughout His ministry, Jesus promised life everlasting to those who believe in Him. And Jesus said it really clearly in John 10:10. "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." It's that abundant life that we anticipate as believers. Now, many people on this earth want abundant life. They long for a long and happy life with all the good stuff. But Jesus offers so much more. He offers forever, eternity. So much more. The promise of this eternal life is the heartbeat of hope. This is our hope. And the resurrection of Jesus ensures that we too will be resurrected. There's so much more than life on this earth. Death is swallowed up in victory. We need not be afraid. Think of it this way. A Muslim in Africa became a Christian, and some of his friends asked him, "Why have you done such a thing?" Excuse me. He answered, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down the road, and suddenly the road broke into two different directions. You don't know which way to go. But at the fork, there are two men, one dead and one alive. Which one would you ask for directions?" Because He lives, I have an eternal hope. I have a promise, a precious promise. So Easter is just so much more than candy, chocolate, although chocolate is very good, colored eggs, spring flowers, and fluffy bunnies. Easter is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. It's the celebration of Jesus, the Son of God, rising from the grave, conquering sin and death, that we might live too. That's what today is really about. That's why we're here. That's why this building exists. That's why we serve one another. That's why we love one another. We love each other and we love all, as our mission statement says. Because He lives, we have peace. Because He lives, we have a purpose. And because He lives, we have a promise. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I'll ask you to join me with a closing prayer. Lord God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we bow before You. We're just so in awe of what You've done. It blows our minds. We can't even begin to comprehend it. Thank You that we can join together today and worship You. Thank You, Father, for giving up Your one and only Son, the perfect Son of God incarnate, the ultimate expression of love that You offered for all of mankind. Thank You, Jesus, for taking our place on that cross that day, for dying for our sins, reconciling us to the Father so that we can have peace, that we can have grace, undeserved pardon. This amazes us still, because it's such a God thing. It's not a human thing at all. And this sacrifice was not an end. The cross was not the end. It was a beginning. Thank You for the resurrection that we're celebrating today. Sin and death, fear and pain could not enslave Jesus. Death has been swallowed in victory because You, Jesus, are our risen King. Because You live, we can have peace, purpose, and a promise of everlasting life. So until that everlasting life comes in all of its fullness, we invite You, Holy Spirit, to live in us, to create that new life in us. We invite You to direct us, to guide us, not so that we're just a better version of ourselves, but transform us so that we're a whole new person in You, so that the power and the love of the risen Christ can be seen in us, His ambassadors, in the things that we say, in the way that we love, the way that we live. I thank You for the opportunity to celebrate with a meal and conversation with friends as we celebrate this cornerstone event of all Christianity. We thank You, Jesus, our risen Savior and King. Amen.